Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi! Oh, welcome. Welcome, my sweet loves, to the DTFH Live, a.k.a. the day stream, or the stream of day, if you want to get specific about what this is. We've got a lot to talk about, my friends. A lot has been going on. For those of you who are into the night stream, I haven't been able to do the night stream lately because I'm moving my personal podcast studio to another zone, and that's not going to be ready until July. Not this one with Josh, of course, in the day, but what you've been watching the night stream from. Unfortunately, I can't move in until July, so we're going to be doing more of these day streams until that happens. Also, I've been on the road a ton. Thank you to all of you who came out to the shows in Asheville and Charlotte. That was super fun. I got some more shows coming up just a few weeks away from heading to Nashville and the Wilbur in Boston. And as long as I'm plugging shit, why not tune in to another Mystery Boys tonight on YMH? It's a good one. We called Jeffrey Epstein. I'm not going to give any spoilers on that. And I don't know, maybe it is hanging out with Metzger. I don't know, maybe it's talking to some people online. I've been thinking about some real weird shit lately, man. Real weird shit. Maybe it's just the algorithm. Josh, you were talking about this. Your algorithm suddenly changed. It's been giving you very strange stuff.
Yeah, lingerie. You just saw one.
Lingerie.
Yeah.
That's great, because my algorithm's changed too. It's giving me people who are in some really fascinating reality tunnels, man. Holy shit. Like this one lady who is Shia LaBeouf's, is that how you say his last name? LaBeouf?
LaBeouf.
LaBeouf. Shia LaBeouf's. I didn't mean that as some boofing joke, by the way. I'm genuinely confused by how you say his name. But yeah, Shia LaBeouf's stalker who thinks that she's married to him, it is just posts constantly messages to him. And one night it's like, do you want to see this? Look at this. And I started watching it, and whoa, it wasn't necessarily the content, which I have to admit, like the production quality is kind of low. It's not so, you know, it could be a lot better. No offense if you're watching this, Shia LaBeouf's stalker, but it's the sheer amount of things that she's posted. Like, you know, it's fun to scroll to the end. You want to see where it starts. And sometimes when you're seeing somebody who's in a strange reality tunnel, you can like actually trace all the way back to the beginning when it started, when they decided that they're going to marry Shia LaBeouf. And it just goes on and on and on and on and on and on. I couldn't get to the bottom of it. Thousands and thousands and thousands of these. And because I looked at that, I've been getting more and more and more and more people living in alternate timelines. Now, it would be easy to call them crazy. It would be a simple thing to call them schizo. It would be an easy thing to say these people are out of their fucking minds. And I'm not saying that they're not, but the problem is when you waggle your little sane finger calling someone else insane, you have to really take a good look at your own life and all the crazy shit you believe and make sure that you're not also completely batshit in the sense that just because you're subscribing to some kind of version of reality that the majority of people subscribe to, aka consensus reality, doesn't mean you're fucking sane. You could have been born into some kind of, I don't know, a country of, let's say, people who are into child sacrifice and summoning demons. And everyone's into that. People just think it's normal to sacrifice children. They think it's normal to summon demons, to trap them in pentagrams and crystals and then use them to wreak havoc on the world or to do good things. I mean, you have to ask yourself, if you summon a demon and you send it to do good things, is it still a good thing? I guess that's for a different podcast, and we have like a demonologist on or something like that. But I've been thinking about this a lot. you know, this idea of consensus reality, but most importantly, how nothing's really changed. We've just sort of rebranded, you know, like, come with me on a journey through time. Come with me. Take your clothes off. Take your shirt off. You can't wear clothes in my time machine. You know that, right? I mean, trust me. I'm the only one who can wear clothes in my time machine. Come with me on a journey through time. Take off your boots. Take off your high heels. Leave them in my sniffing basket. And come with me to ancient Mesopotamia. Pull that up, Josh.
On YouTube?
That thing we pulled up earlier. You've got it on one of the tabs there. Ancient Mesopotamia. Now, I read, this is just the AI overview, but I read this really interesting piece on ancient Mesopotamia, and they had these exorcists that for them were like doctors. Like, you know, we know the Catholic Church has exorcists. I don't know if any other churches have them, but even that is kind of looked at as like, fucking nuts, you know, like, and really, exorcist casting demons out of people, really? I mean, it's great for movies, but come on, really? But back in ancient Mesopotamia, they didn't think of it as crazy. They thought of it as normal. Like, it was a normal thing to hire an exorcist known as an esipu. I don't know what that bendy thing over the S means. A shipu? An ashipu, is it a shish? A shipu. Ancient Mesopotamians protected themselves from curses and malevolent magic by hiring highly trained exorcist priests, a shipu, to perform complex ceremonies. Protection strategies included wearing bell-shaped amulets, drawing salt or flower circles around the home, placing protective demon-trapping bowls under door thresholds, and burning effigies of the sorcerers responsible. Now, a modern person, we're all modern people here. We have electric light illuminating us. We have self-driving cars. We have technology. We have computer chips running everything. Our refrigerators fucking talk to us. You read a thing like that, you think those savages, they're out of their fucking mind. But pull up, Josh, just an image of like a COVID mask. Remember this? Have we all forgotten this? Remember this shit, guys? The phases of this. It was really interesting. You guys remember like when COVID hit, or have we all forgotten that? You guys remember that, right? It was wild because we didn't know what the fuck it was. Everyone was scared, except for like some people are like, it's bullshit. Don't believe it. And those people, God help them, if they spoke out against the masks, even like virologists, even Anthony Fauci, I think at first was saying, no, the mask isn't going to do shit. And even though like people understand like the size of a virus versus the, we could easily flow in and out of a fucking mask. And it, as you know, I'm not going to go on some fucking Texas tirade against maskers. You want a fucking mask. In the same way that if you want to put salt in a circle around you, do it. I don't know. Maybe it fucking works. But that, my point is, nothing's really changed that much. The form has changed. The form has changed. But the thing itself, using weird shit to protect yourself from invisible forces, has not really changed that much. It's a bit of a mind fuck, isn't it, when you think about that? Because you want to be rational. You don't want to imagine that you live in as strange and superstitious a world as the ancient Mesopotamians, who would like go to the temple and find an ashipu and say, I think a sorcerer has cast a dark spell on me. And they'd come to your fucking house and bury a bowl under your door and be like, you're going to be okay now. And then some other like fucked up shit would happen to you. And you'd be like, I think you buried the wrong bowl, man. My balls are still covered in festering boils. Kidney, like, oh, yeah, sorry about that. We were confused about the sorcerer. You've got a ball boil sorcerer. It's a completely different. It's a boil bowl. I did have a pox bowl, and it's like almost the same bowl, but it's different. And they would come and bury a new fucking bowl. And not just that. I mean, pull up that child sacrifice Wikipedia. There it is, yeah. I mean, we all know back in the old days, people used to do this for real. They would sacrifice fucking children. Look, there it is, the offering to Molech, putting a fucking baby into this fucked up lion statue thing. People standing around. Yeah! Yes! Great! This is great. Blowing trumpets. Ugh. That's your last moment here on Earth. Bunch of assholes blowing trumpets right before you get fucking incinerated. Can you imagine that? That is real. People used to do that. That is real. Now go back one more time. That is real. That is real. Israel. What? It's real. Let's see. Pre-Columbian cultures. Archaeologists have found the remains of more than 140 children who were sacrificed in Peru's northern coastal region. 140. The Aztecs are well known for their ritualistic human sacrifices, offering to God with the goal of restoring cosmological balance, while the demographic of people chosen... Can you scroll up a little bit? Chosen to sacrifice remains unclear. It is hypothesized that this specific child sacrifice took place during the Great Drought and Famine of 1454 to 1457, furthering the theory that Aztecs utilized human sacrifice to placate the gods. So you see a thing like that, and you're like, well, oh, my God, we've risen from the darkness of the ancient past. Now we're sophisticated. We don't do that anymore. None of these sacrifices to Moloch. Pull up Kermit Gosnell, that other tab. Look at this.
Let me refresh it because it's going down the bit rate. Refresh.
This episode of the DTFH has been supported by Hims. You've probably heard me ramble on this podcast about getting on a GLP-1. I have diabetes, so I had to start taking it. And, you know, it's somehow controversial that there's this incredible medicine out there that if you take it, you lose weight. And it happened to me. It works. And it's amazing. I know that, like, the reason that I'm on it is because my stupid body is hanging on to sugar too much. And for some reason, there's people out there who say crazy things like, that's what it's for. No, this is some next level futuristic pre-singularity stuff that is like, by the way, I probably can't say a lot of stuff because it's like medical stuff that I can't back up. So let me just say none of this is in my Hims copy. Hims, I'm really sorry. I'll redo the ad if somehow this messes things up on another podcast. But oh my God, this is me speaking from my own subjective personal experience with this stuff. It's not just like you lose weight. It's like my relationship with food is different. The thing that got me into type 2 diabetes, which is just wanting to shove food in my mouth all the time, it's just not, it's like, it reminds me of the way my kids eat. They just, when they're done. Dessert, they don't eat the whole thing if they don't want it. They just eat until they're full. Anyway, you could look up what this medicine does. It just works. That's the main thing. And honestly, losing weight was like a pleasant side effect. And it also got my blood sugar normal. It's a miracle. Okay, now I'll read the copy. I'm sorry, Hims. Enter Weight Loss by Hims. It's designed to support you in losing the weight and keeping it off. And Hims now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill. With Wegovy, Hims lose up to 20% more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite and eat less, so success is within reach. Plus, Wegovy is the first ever GLP-1 pill, so there are no needles needed. Through Hims, everything happens online. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Hims makes hitting your goals seamless by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and in-app lifestyle and nutrition support like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hims makes it simple to find a weight loss approach that fits into your world and your wallet, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. Are you ready to reach your goals? Visit Hims.com/Duncan to get a personalized, affordable plan that gets you. That's HIMS.com/Duncan, Hims.com/Duncan. Weight loss by Hims is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information and restrictions, visit Hims.com.
Got it.
Dude, I just found out about this motherfucker. Trigger warning. This shit is the vilest, most horrifying, fucked up shit I've ever heard of. Kermit Gosnell was an American serial killer and abortion doctor. At his clinic in West Philadelphia, Gosnell provided illegal late-term abortions, committed post-labor infanticide after many live births, and ran a prescription pill mill, which eventually attracted federal attention. So this dude here is the face of pure fucking evil. This guy somehow managed to make sacrifices to Moloch seem sophisticated. Like, this guy was... like, once the baby was born, was severing the baby's spinal cord. I think he's killed more people than any other serial killer, but I could be wrong about that. But this fucking Gosnell piece of shit, when they raided that place, it just smelled like rotting flesh. Did you heard of this guy?
No.
Because it was just, you know, he's just tossing the dead babies in, like, in fucking bins, I guess, and not disposing of them. In a 2010 raid, authorities found the intact human remains of 47 fetuses and babies stored in bags and in cartons. Scroll down a little bit, Josh. 21 felony counts of illegal late-term abortion and 211 counts of violating informed consent law. And so... basically, like, I unfortunately did a deep dive on this shit, which I wish I didn't do. And he had some nurse who he was, like, training or grooming. And, you know, she was, like, having reservations about killing babies. Like, a great person. What a great person. She's like, I don't know if she should be killing babies, Kermit. Hey, Dr. Gosnell, I don't know. I've got a weird feeling about this baby killing thing. And then she said that she's just sort of went numb to what was happening and just was just fucking killing babies. They were taking babies and putting them in like bowls that had been born and just letting them die. Just letting them die. This is fucking just happened, man. This is very recent. They tried to give him the death penalty, but and also Karnamaya Mongar, an adult patient at the clinic, that's a wild name, who died following an abortion procedure. So you know, people were just going there and fucking dying. But he told this nurse who was having reservations, they're born poor, so they're already dead. He said that. Like, those words came out of this man's mouth, who was just getting these people fucking addicted to pills, killing their fucking babies. He was like a warlock. That's what a warlock does. Like, a warlock, you know, what is the difference between this guy and a warlock who moves into town, builds like a fucking dark citadel with like crows sitting at the top and wolves howling around it? And like, it's the same thing. Nothing's changed. Here we have modern ritualistic child sacrifice to satiate the gods of capitalism. That's what that is. It's not a drought. It's an economic drought. It's not the crops aren't growing. It's that the people who were going there didn't have a lot of money. And so to pacify the gods who had cursed them by making them poor, well, I'll just kill your baby. It'll make things better. Let me give you these magical tablets. It'll make your feelings go away. What's the fucking difference? It's the same thing. Nothing has changed. It just is rebranded. That's all. Now, Josh, if you could, this is my theory on this stuff, you guys. By the way, if you go on GitHub, for you nerds out there, somebody just made a really awesome cymatics simulator. So you could do cymatics like on your computer. For those of you who don't know what cymatics are, it's where you dump powder onto speakers, basically, onto plates. And the vibration makes the powder form into certain geometry. So yeah, pull up cymatics on YouTube, Josh. Check. I've always been fascinated by this. And don't do the audio on it. Yeah, that's
the sound.
Yeah, no audio. Honestly. So watch what happens. So when you run certain vibrations through powder, I don't know what the sludge he's pouring on there right now, but you know, honestly, what that this video is that's actually liquefied fetal tissue from Gosnell's. Play this one.
Was it true they had one about if you whisper like bad stuff to water, it'll freeze in a bad way?
Yeah. There's another thing that you could do. It's a different, but yeah, it's essentially like the way vibration just affects things. It forms these predictable patterns based on the pitch. So if, you know, 133 hertz, you get whatever the fuck that is. Let it keep going for a second. Let's see here. 1820, you're going to get that fucking thing. And on, it's really cool, some of the shapes these things make. You're going to get that thing. 3,240 hertz. You're going to get that thing. Almost looks like crop circles.
Mm-hmm.
Makes you wonder about, like, is that what crop circles are? Put on some more fucking salt on that baby. Boom, you get that thing. It definitely reminds me of, like, different, like, megalithic sites and stuff that you've seen there that they draw. It sort of looks like that. But what all this shit has got me thinking about is what the word for it is. I got to come up with some kind of cool name for this. Someone's already come up with a much better name, no doubt. But like cultural cymatics, that like when certain vibrations emanate through any culture, it's always going to form the exact same pattern. And then, but the salt in this case is whatever symbols or whatever mythologies or whatever the, you know, vernacular of the time is, is what forms it. But it's the same fucking thing. Killing babies is killing babies. If we're using a different language for why we're killing the babies, or if we have different ideas about what it is, it's still child sacrifice. It's still the exact same fucking thing. It's just right now the gods aren't, you know, like Sumerian gods, Pazuzu or some shit. The gods now are the Tao.
Meta.
The Tao. It's mostly the Tao. Like, whenever you hear on the news, when they, like, tell you, oh, the Dow Jones Industrial Average has dropped 3%, that is the same thing as saying Lord Narvoth of the Seventh Veil has become slightly angry at us. It's the same fucking thing. And so then you end up realizing, oh, my God, I am living in ancient times and modern times at the same time. People in Mesopotamia, by the way, they weren't going around like, God, we're primitive pieces of shit, fucking out of our minds. They were like, this is some high-tech shit. Did you hear? They came up with a new bowl ritual. Like, it's way better. They made it more efficient. It came to them in a vision. The gods came and said, here, you gotta, like, shit in the bowl before you bury it. And I know that's crazy, but bullshitting, it definitely throws shit back at exorcists. So this brings me to what I want to offer you guys. And by the way, I see someone in the chat right now talking about Lord Narvoth of the Seventh Veil being a scary guy. First of all, Lord Narvoth is all genders combined. He is actually a vagina with penises radiating out from the sides, and that rolls through the Seventh Veil. That's how he moves around. And so, yeah, I guess scary to look at, but pretty fun to hang out with. Now, I want to offer you guys something now. Did we lose all our tabs, Josh?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so this is something that we're going to do now. And you don't have to participate if you don't want to. But you have to ask yourself. You have to ask yourself. What other things are real that we imagine are from the ancient times? And one of those is curses. Are curses real? Josh, you're going to have to talk about this because I'm not a sports dude, okay, Unfortunately. But tell me about the Trump curse and the Knicks, whatever the fuck that is.
So he was the very first president to ever go to NBA finals. And they ended up losing. They won the other three out of the four games. And they said he put a bad vibe there and that's why they lost. And in fact, when they showed him during the national anthem, the whole stadium started to boo Trump. And people were like, you set it off a weird atmosphere because everybody had to get patted down before they got
that
in.
That was a Knicks game?
That was a Knicks game.
Pull that up, by the way. For those of you who haven't seen this.
Let me go to Twitter.
It seems like our president.
And he fell asleep at the end of the game.
How do you fall asleep after an entire fucking arena boos you? I still wouldn't be able to fall asleep after that. How do you fall asleep after that? This is the craziest shit ever. I mean, listen to this. Oh!
That's the owner of the Knicks.
Ugh.
Or Madison Square Garden, and then that's all bulletproof glass.
It seems like it's too low. Okay, that's good. God, Jesus, the Secret Service guy is like, how do I deal with this? How do I deal with this? I can protect him from bullets, but how can I protect him from a broken heart? And then he passes out. He's pissed.
Yeah, that was him asleep.
Wow, he's really good at sit sleeping.
It's an old guy thing. You can do it very easily. See?
Wow. He's very good at that. Huh. He should talk about how good he is at that. That's hard to do. My head nods for it. Like, that shows some weird, like, neck powers. Now, so Trump cursed the Knicks? Is that the idea?
Yeah. And that, yeah, he brought bad juju onto the Knicks, and I hope he's at game 5, 6, and 7.
You know, if I was him, I would do that just to fuck with him. Like, after getting booed like that, I'd be like, oh, I'm coming to every game now.
Yeah.
Every fucking game, you pieces of shit, until you cheer for me. I'm going to keep coming until I get full cheers. He would do that. I could see him doing something like that. But so here we have a modern day emergent story that has mythical proportions. The Dark King comes to the game. His bad vibe, his cymatic emanations create a vibration that produces failure for the Knicks. But aren't they always losing?
No, they were on a 13-game playoff winning streak, which is the highest.
I thought the thing with the Knicks, but historically, is they lose all the time or something.
They choke in the finals, or because last time they got beat by the Bulls. Yeah, so that's that they choke.
And like, if you become a Knicks fan, you're basically signing up for like the worst kind of pain. As I've just heard that from Knicks fans, they're like, don't do it. Like, don't get into
it. Yeah, it's frustrating for them. The last time they were in the finals was 1999 versus the Spurs, when their best player's father played for that team and he was number 9. Now his son's playing against the Spurs 27 years later and he's wearing the number 11.
Oh shit, sorry, dude. Fucking fell asleep for a second. Well, anyway, curses. You know, you don't want to. I understand. Like, I do think the placebo effect is incredibly powerful. In fact, they say it's the most powerful effect in medicine. Like, you give somebody, you know, a sugar pill and their fucking sickness goes away somehow. Maybe it gets their immune system to work, or who knows? There's accounts of people with like stage 4 cancer going to their doctor and it's gone. I think they're figuring out what that is now. It's like your immune system identifies it's bad and they're like, oh God, we didn't realize. And then they get rid of it. But the point is, you can induce that effect. But maybe there's something more than just the placebo effect, just because you believe it works. Who knows? But when it comes to curses, there's something I want to share with you. Years and years ago, when I was hanging out with some Satanists, I was curious. I asked them, like, well, how do you curse people? Because I thought that was what it was about. And they told me. They told me, I'm not going to share that here. But they did tell me, well, here's what you would do. And they said, don't do it. This is coming from fucking Satanists. They're like, don't curse. It's really bad, really risky, bad news all the way around. The bet, if you really want to, like, fuck somebody up, the only way, the best way, the most reliable way, and the least risky way to do that is to become happy and to have success. These are the things that will completely shake your enemies up more than any other fucking thing. Because anybody who's so low level and stupid and dumb that they are inordinately thinking about you in a negative way and actively trying to fuck up your life, they're the type of person who is obviously not working on their own lives. They're always on a downward trajectory. Anytime you meet anybody who's a vengeance person, notice their lives. Always going down. Always. Now, it might be a slow descent, it might be a fast descent, but vengeance-minded people, it never works out for them. Before I go out with what I'm going to give you, I'm giving you guys a gift, I'm going to help you with something today, I want you to pull up that Cape Fear poster of Josh. Little movie recommendation here. The new Cape Fear series, I think it's on Apple TV, is so fucking good. And I love Cape Fear. If you haven't seen the original movie, actually, there's the original one's black and white, I believe. But the one with De Niro is so insanely good. It's one of my favorite movies. And so anytime you hear about this remake of your favorite fucking movie, you're filled with dread. You're filled with this growing sense that they're just going to ruin something. They're going to mess something up, something that didn't need to be duplicated. How the fuck is anybody going to do the Max Cady that De Niro did in Cape Fear? Dude, what's the name of that actor, by the way? Just so we can give him the credit he deserves.
Javier Bardem.
Javier Bardem. Oh my God. So good. And what he did is instead of trying to like, I'm not going to spoil it. I feel like I already spoiled it by showing you what he looks like because the beginning kind of like keeps you in suspense. It's like they knew that everyone who loves Cape Fear was going to be completely worried about how are they going to redo De Niro's Max Cady. Is he going to, because that the whole movie is hanging on this guy. Like he could really fuck it up. But what he did is he took, it's like a completely different Max Cady. And it's so good. It's just a different take on this, essentially like the Count of Monte Cristo. It's a modern day version of that, but told from the, anyway, I don't want to give too much away about it. It's just fucking good. And, but, so this is a vengeance obsessed person, basically. This is somebody who's out for revenge. And he is the very last person you would want hunting your ass down. He's also, maybe you could argue, a symbol of redemption and karma and justice. And it's just such a deep, good movie. But in general, when you're looking to get revenge on somebody, in general, when you're seeking to harm somebody, in general, you don't need to do that. Here's why. Number one. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Summer is here, friends. And you know how summer was when you were a kid? Do you remember that? Went on forever. It went on forever. And it was generally carefree. You know, you didn't experience the kind of crazy stress that comes up if you happen to be a parent during the summer. Oh my God, kids are out of school. You want to give them a great summer. You're feeling this bizarre like combination of wanting school to start again and then also just wanting to spend lots of time with your kids. You're having to reckon with all the shit from your own childhood. Am I projecting this on my children? What's going on? Not to give too much information in a BetterHelp commercial, but I can remember when I still was not dealing with grief from my mom passing, jumping on a trampoline with my oldest kid. It was just a little guy back then. And looking at him and thinking, you're going to watch me die. It's like, dude, he doesn't know that his dad is having these like hardcore existential heavy thoughts. It's a beautiful summer day. It's fun. And those were the thoughts that were going through my mind because I hadn't decided to like get some help for grief, which I highly recommend. Which brings us to today's sponsor, BetterHelp. Therapy can help people better understand their needs, feel more confident, setting boundaries, and create a version of summer that actually feels good. Maybe there's a way to bounce on that trampoline without imagining your children burying you. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally. And it works with an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on over 1.7 million client reviews. BetterHelp does the initial matching work for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences, and their 12 plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recs. You don't have to say yes to everything this summer. Find support in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/Duncan. That's betterhelp.com/Duncan. Thank you, BetterHelp. if somebody's like done you wrong, here's what you can count on. They're doing other people wrong on the regs. If they're doing something weird to you, they're doing weird shit to everybody. We're social animals. Once you start shitting all over the system, you're fucked. You're already fucked. So this is why anytime I get pissed off about something, I always do refer to the Bible. Of course I do, children. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And another thing I refer to is something Miyamoto Musashi, the great samurai, said, which one of my friends has told me, which is, if you live long enough, you will see the bodies of your enemies float down the river in front of you, which is true. Because if somebody's like fucking with you, they're fucking with other people. If somebody's doing fucked up things, they're hurting themselves. They're really fixated in the me, you paradigm. They think they're a them and you're a you, and they don't understand that by hurting people around you, you're hurting yourself. And this is like cancer. It's like it's a system, a part of a system that's hurting the system itself. And so what happens in the body, the immune system, once it catches on, it turns on the fucking thing. It attacks it. It destroys it on its own. You don't have to do anything at all. And so if you get sucked in by a curse caster, then, and when I say curse casting, to go back to the original theme here, I'm not saying like literally somebody's got a voodoo doll of you or a jar with your hair in it or any of that shit. I'm just saying like somebody who seems to be consciously trying to disrupt your life in a negative way. And if you get sucked into that, ooh, watch out. You got to watch out because their curse is working. Now you're being pulled in an even more insidious way, which is you're like becoming them. They're changing you. They're puppeteering you. They're marionetting you. It's very deep, very dangerous. And so the reason these Satanists said not to curse, and I think in other magical traditions, though you could argue Satanism isn't a magical tradition, the general idea is what you put out, you get back times fill in the blank, depending on what stupid Instagram fucking feed witch that you're seeing is telling you. But it's true. What you put out, it magnifies back at you. It's an echo chamber. And so when you curse somebody, if we're looking at it from the purely superstitious metaphysical window, you're connecting with them. It's a connection. It's a direct link. You're linking to them. Now, whether you're actually linking with them, I don't know. But mentally, you're connecting with them. You're bringing them into your mind all the time. You're thinking negative thoughts about them. And so you have now established a link with a person via your focus on them. And so this is a two-way street. This is the problem. It's a two-way street. Once you establish that connection of negativity, the moment the person you're cursing becomes aware of that, oh shit, oh my God, I'm being cursed, then now they can respond via that connection. That's the basic idea, which brings us to what I'm going to offer all of you if you want it. Do you feel like some kind of curse has been placed upon you? My children, you are my children. Is somebody out there done something to you? Somebody out there thinking about you in negative ways? Do you get a general ominous sense? A kind of tension pulling at your astral ass. Something's out there plucking the harp strings of your life, trying to play dissonant tones. Do you get that feeling? Well, today I'm going to offer you a chance. We can all do this together to remove whatever your curses may be. And the reason you never want to curse anybody is because the general method of removing curses is to send that fucker back. That's all you got to do. It's a connection. It's essentially a rubber band. You just let it go. It's going to hit somebody right in the fucking face. It's all you have to do. That's the curse removal 101. Now, obviously, I'm no Mesopotamian-trained exorcist. I'm a stoner who likes to read weird shit. But I think what we should all do now, and I can't play it, though I do want to. I guess you could cut it out, right, Josh?
I can cut it out, but they might stop the stream.
Let's roll the dice.
Okay.
You know, so now I present to you, you don't mind cutting it out, Josh?
No.
This is one of the great wizards of our time, William S. Burroughs. Wait, stop it. Go back to the beginning. Stop. This is William S. Burroughs doing a curse banishing ritual. All you have to do, if we all listen to this and focus on it together, we will form a kind of transient coven, and we will eliminate in this very moment all curses. And then after, you know what, after he reads it, I'll read it just to make sure we seal the deal. Go ahead and play it, Josh.
Lock them out and block the door, bar them out forevermore. Nook them out. Lock is mine and door is mine. 3 times 3 to make up 9. Change the lock and change the door. Smear them out forevermore. Curse go back, back with double pain and lack. Curse go back, back with double fear and black. Silver arrow through the night, silver arrow take thy flight. Silver arrow seek and find, cursing heart and cursing mind.
Ah, wow, that's so cool. Curse, go back. All right, now, read it. Pull up. Is there a way to pull up the text there? So if you want to read it with me, read it with me. Can they see that?
Yeah, they'll be able to see it.
Okay, let's read it. I won't be able to do near as good a job as William Burroughs, obviously. Lock them out and block the door. Bar them out forevermore. Lock them out. Lock is mine and door is mine. 3 times 3 to make up 9. Change the lock and change the door. Smear them out forevermore. Curse go back, back with double pain and lack. Curse go back, back with double fear and black. Silver arrow through the night. Silver arrow, take thy flight. Silver arrow, seek and find. Cursing heart and cursing mind. Don't you feel better? Josh, I couldn't help but notice you didn't read it.
Well, it was a...
What, are you suddenly feeling sick?
No.
What's going on? Suddenly getting a weird feeling?
In my tummy a little bit.
Yeah! Oh,
man.
Yeah! Doesn't feel good, does it?
No.
It doesn't feel good. The flow has been reversed. You know, is that real? I don't know. Felt good to read it.
My grandmother used to do a thing to get rid of curses.
What?
I thought it was part of Catholicism. It's not. It's called the wevel. It's just egg, right? And she would say the rosary, rub the egg over the part that's hurting. So if I have a fever, then get a bowl of water, crack the egg in the water, put it under the bed, and then I would lay there like this. And then she'd come back. And if the egg was white, that means somebody put ojo on me or a curse.
Whoa.
The evil eye. They put that on me. And if it didn't have anything, then nobody did that. I'm just sick.
Did you ever get a white egg?
Yes, but I found out later, it just depends on how hot the water is. So it's basically cooking the egg. So if you put hot water, it's going to be white. If you put cold water, nothing's going to happen. I thought it was part of Catholicism. And everybody's like, nope, that's not Catholicism.
Is your grandmother still alive?
No, she passed away.
God, that sucks. Because you need to ask her, like, are you keeping a consistent water temperature?
They weren't. It was just whenever they turned it on. If they had just washed dishes in the sink,
then you got a fucking curse.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh man. Jesus Christ. Why'd your grandmother fucking do that to you, man?
In the valley, a lot of Catholic, they took like a lot of like it's witchcraft, and it kind of went into,
yeah,
they just like adopted it and said, oh, this is Catholicism, and it's not.
I mean, even before Catholicism took in, I mean, any organized religion is magic, inarguably. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no way around that. It's just, you know, yeah, I know, it sucked in, Catholicism sucked in a lot of stuff. I mean, isn't that what Santeria is essentially?
Well, like, it's the reverse of it. But that's where they got saints, because there was demigods. And in the Orthodox in Russia, they don't have any saints. Here, you lose something, you pray to a certain saint to find it. Saint Anthony. Yeah.
Saint Anthony, please look around. What is it? How does it go?
I just go, Saint Anthony, where the fuck is it?
don't talk like that. By the way, that's the worst fucking saint to be.
The saint of lost stuff, just people asking you.
It's called being married. Yeah. You know what I mean? Anyone who's fucking married, you become Saint Anthony, because you have to help them find their fucking phones and they have to help you find your shit. It's the worst. Poor Saint Anthony. Somebody needs to pray to him for him. My God, that poor saint constantly, all day long, helping people find their wallets.
I'm going to be late to work. Where are my keys?
Well, I hope that this helped you, my friends. I know that these are trying times. And if you ask me, sometimes it's good to at least temporarily take off the tinfoil hat of modernism. Take it off. Let yourself drift back to the ancient times. Don't be afraid. Is it real, any of this bullshit? I don't know. Is any of the modern stuff real? I don't know. Are we in a simulation? I don't know. Is this a dream? Yes, it is. And the moment you start lucid dreaming is where you can start having fun. So if you ask me, sometimes you can get a little imbalanced into modernity. And that's not going to save you. Just because it's not supposed to be real doesn't mean it doesn't work. Just because you don't believe in it doesn't mean you're not susceptible. That's not enough. You know, you can not believe that you have an infection on your arm because your stupid fucking cat swiped you a good one. But that's not going to save you from watching your arm rot off. It doesn't matter. It's just cymatics, friends. You can use language as a handle to attach to all of these ideas that can be kind of rough to get a hold of. If you need to use the language of modernity, then use it. If it helps you to consider yourself to be neurodivergent, that's fine. You're neurodivergent. Sometimes, though, you gotta ask, do I have a demon? Do you have a demon? No! But will that compel you maybe to put a little more effort into healing yourself? Maybe. On the other hand, sometimes thinking you have a demon is like that's a red flag. I'll be honest, if that's a red flag.
I think we live in a rat utopia. That's what I think we live in.
Oh, yeah, rat utopia. we're going to talk about a different fucking thing altogether. We'll save that for another podcast. We're going to you know, and also that's kind of like that was great, Josh. Thanks for putting a button on that for me. I really appreciate that, for tying it all together to something that that isn't connected. The rat utopia thing, you guys have heard of that. You put a bunch of rats in a place where they have everything they need, and like the next thing you know, they get all fat and fucked up, and they just stop reproducing and just essentially lose all. It seems like they actually become better rats. I mean, do you want your rats reproducing? I don't. That's good, right?
Well, they said like there are specific rats that only clean themselves and made themselves look super nice. And that's kind of like what's happening now with that guy, like clavicular, whatever his name is.
Clavicular.
There you go. Him and like all the looks maxing. And that's where we're towards the end of the rat utopia. I mean, we're not rats, but you know.
You know, I'll tell you my take on clavicular. Pull up a picture of clavicular. I thought of this the other day, and it made
me... You just got a nose job.
Oh, congratulations, clavicular. Mm-hmm. Good job. There he is. Beautiful, beautiful man. There he is. Now, you know, obviously this is like well-chewed and well-trod territory when it comes to streaming and yapping about shit. But... I think I have a hot take on it that I haven't heard yet, and it's kind of sad, because why do all of this? Like, why use a hammer to, like, reshape your face? Why fuck up your body? Like, or why pay tons of money to have your body changed? Why, Josh? Why do you think?
Because people don't... We don't have the what's it called, purpose anymore. We don't feel like, well, what's this all for? So now it just becomes how I can look my best. That's the only thing I can do. That's the only thing I think I can control.
That's good, but go deeper.
They're gay?
You're getting there, but go even deeper.
They're really gay.
Go even deeper. Go deeper, Josh. Come on. I could take it. Go deeper, deeper. Albert is saying the ego. No, it's I know, this is what it is. It's so sad. They want to be touched.
Oh.
They want to be touched. Clavicular wants to be held. He wants to be loved. He wants to be touched. He wants somebody to hold him and love him and touch him. And he thinks the only way he can make that happen is by sledgehammering his fucking cheekbones. Do you know how sad that is? All of these people who are warping their bodies, you have to ask yourself, if they were living alone, like if they washed up on a desert island or something, are they going to be fucking trying to fix their face, regrow their hair, adjust their nose? No, there's nobody around. The bananas are still going to fall out of the fucking banana tree for them, regardless of how symmetrical their face is. People like clavicular represent loneliness. They represent people who are like, they need someone to love them unconditionally and hold them and say, I love you, clavicular. You're wonderful. You're beautiful. And so they're shattering their fucking bones to just feel someone's touch. That's all it is. Like, you look at like the, you know, slop videos that come out about this dude who weirdly was thrust upon us, like suspiciously so. Mm-hmm. Like he became, you know, whatever the invisible empire like throws to the fucking peasantry to yap about. You know, every month we get a new topic of discussion. And,
well, they had to replace that bald guy from, or was it Romania? What was his name?
What? Oh, Andrew Tate.
Andrew Tate. He replaced Andrew Tate.
Right. Yeah. He was the next in line. Yeah. It's just sort of like a testament to, I don't know, toxic masculinity, narcissism, streaming culture, I guess. I don't know. But the truth is, that guy just is desperately wanting someone to love him all the way. That's what he wants. It's all it is. It's so sad. And it's really sad because, like, all these people, anybody who's like just a malformed or culturally dissonant, if you just shrink them down to like babies, they're the cutest, sweetest things of all time. No one's ever looked at a baby and been like, I gotta give this baby a fucking nose job. I gotta get this baby's chin fixed. You just love the baby. They're so powerful. They're such powerful creatures. And it's so sad. Clavicular just needs... Oh, mommy. Clavicular needs just somebody to, whether it's a dude mommy or whatever, a daddy, So guess what they call guy moms?
you know what's scary? He's probably going to be a politician one day. You know why? Because this was, I mean, think what Pumping Iron with Arnold Schwarzenegger was when people first saw it. It's like, why is this guy so into his own body?
You know, I don't know about that, Josh.
And then he became governor.
I don't know. I'm worried about sweet clavicular. Like, I just see these videos of him passing out and shit at bars. Like, you know, he's like all fucked up.
He was on, somebody gave him a pill.
Somebody gave him a pill.
Yeah. And they carried him out.
You know, I just got to say this. Every single pill that I've ever enjoyed, somebody gave it to me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not an excuse. I don't know what he's on. The point is, like, he's going to inevitably find that no matter how beautiful and symmetrical he becomes, he's still going to feel like shit until he deals with the fact that he needs somebody to, like, he's longing for something that you're not going to get from symmetry. It doesn't matter. In fact, he's going to get himself in a horrible predicament. Worst case scenario for clavicular is people start banging him because he looks pretty. And
right. I think he got head on a stream once.
Which stream?
His stream. I forgot what he did it on, but the girl was on it and he was like, oh, yeah.
Lonely. That's pure, deep loneliness. Anytime how many times have I gotten a blowjob on this stream?
Four.
Yes. And do I do any kind of performative anything?
No.
Nothing. No one knows. I could be getting one right now. I 100% don't show it when I'm getting blown on the stream, but this is why I like having this table, you know? And I think the people who blow me appreciate that, you know? And that will be, once we get the YouTube member stuff figured out, that is going to be like a high tier,
yeah,
on the YouTube. Like if you subscribe to a high enough tier, I will fly you to Austin and you can blow me under the table, which is, I think, makes sense. That'll be like the, I don't know, $12 tier.
High. But you do feel more empty inside after you get blown.
You literally are emptier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it just doesn't work. 69ing though works.
Yeah,
I feel less empty when I 69.
Yeah, but that's like the yin and the yang. That's
right.
Why.
You're feeding each other. It's, yep, a snake eating its own
dick and
balls and pussy.
Yep. Super chats?
Let's do some super chats. Oh, wait, let me sign off for the people in my listening audience. Thank you guys so much for subscribing. If you want to dive into one of our award-winning live streams, then subscribe on YouTube and you'll get alerts, I think. Or follow me on Twitter and I usually annoyingly announce it 5 to 15 minutes before I do it, which probably is not great marketing. Let's do some super chats. And thank you all so much for the super chats. This episode of the DTFH is brought to you by my friends at Factor. Holy shit. Factor saved my ass after my wife gave birth. Because the thing is this, if you know, once you give birth, it's not exactly like you're going to be making meals for yourself. Obviously, you can do that, but you're making meals out of your boobs for your baby. It becomes this old man's job to make meals, to make sure that my wife has all the pre-breast milk ingredients, aka food, and you want to give them healthy stuff. And wow. Factor was there for me. I ate a few of them, I'll be honest, but probably shouldn't have. I ate a few of them, a lot of them. I get it if, like, you hear a Factor commercial and you hear that it's something that you put in the microwave and you have been wounded by garbage microwave food. So I get it. When they decided to support the DTFH some time back, I was skeptical myself. This is not what you're used to. If you've been buying like shit from, I don't know, some grocery store that's like got ice crystals in it. This is not what this is. These are all chef-prepared, fresh meals that they deliver right to your door. Like when I lived in L.A., some of my fancy friends, they would have that. Like you go visit them and there would be these like, you know, chef-prepared meals at their door. And you'd be like, wow, you're doing good. I would love that. Because who has time? Who has time to cook healthy meals for themselves? Or these days, even cook meals for themselves? So what a pleasant surprise to find out that there's a company, Factor, that you could subscribe to and you can enjoy really, really good food. For example, their spicy chicken and corn rice bowl. So good. I ate so many of those that I probably should have been given to my wife. I ate all of them. I think I ate all of them. It's the best though. I'm telling you, I know this sounds maybe a little too exuberant for an ad read, but it's like, it honestly was one of like the huge allies I had while my wife was going through a postpartum or whatever you call exactly after you give birth. I mean, I didn't bring her a Factor meal right after she gave birth, but you know what I mean? The following weeks, God, sorry, Factor, that's a little clumsy. Maybe I should just read what you guys want me to read. Every meal is crafted with functional ingredients, lean proteins, colorful veggies, whole foods, and healthy fats. Factor bans 175 plus ingredients. No artificial colors or sweeteners, no high fructose corn syrup, no refined seed oils, just nutrient-dense food. It's never frozen, always fresh. 100 rotating weekly meals, including globally inspired flavors like Mediterranean and Asian. There's always something new to look forward to. It's ready in 2 minutes. Factor shops, preps, cooks, and delivers straight to your door so you have more time for everything you love this summer. Friends, it's all that's real. It's the most insane thing when you get within a few minutes like a delicious meal where you feel like you're at a restaurant. It's the best. Couldn't recommend them more. Head to factormeals.com/Duncan50off and use code Duncan50off to get 50% off and free daily greens per box with new subscription only while supplies last until September 27th, 2026. See the website for more details. Thank you, Factor. I wish you could do this in order.
It is. It's this top one.
His karma will offer him the opportunity to live all the lives of each soul that suffered impacted by his actions. I don't know who you're talking about. Are you talking about Trump? Anybody. All of us. I hope you're not talking about me. But it would be true. I mean, it's true for whoever you're talking about. I do think it is. I did think this the other day. I do. I really love Austin, man. People out here are fucking cool and I was just going to buy nicotine pouches. And me and the dude at the convenience store got in this great conversation about Hitler. And, you know, Hitler fucked so many things up. My birthday, embarrassingly enough, is on Hitler's birthday. It's 420. It's an embarrassing birthday. I've always been embarrassed by that. I'm embarrassed by it because, like, surely I'm not that much of a stoner. Like, if this stuff they say is true, that you choose what day you're born and all that, does that mean that, like, in whatever place we are before we come here? I was like, 420, dude. And I don't want to think of the other thing I could be. I want to be born on Hitler's birthday, man. Let's hope. It's got to be weed. I was like, 420, man. That is, like, the way I could signal to my young self to start smoking weed as soon as you can. But when you think about it, like, Hitler ruined 420. Hitler ruined the Hitler mustache.
Yeah, not even Jordan can bring it back.
No one can bring it back. It's done.
Yeah.
That, and maybe that's good. I mean, I think the Hitler mustache ruined the Hitler mustache. It seems like it's just like, what is that? Commit to the fucking mustache, dude. Like, why are you just, it's like the equivalent of the, when you're shaving your pubes, it's like that strip thing that people do, the mohawk or whatever. I don't know if there's a name for that, but the
landing strip.
There you go. He ruined, what else did he fucking ruin? He ruined the swastika. Fucking ruined the swastika. Perfectly cool symbol before he came around and shit on it and Hitlered it up. It's all over India still. He didn't take it from them, but I remember going to India and it took a second to get used to seeing fucking swastikas everywhere. It really did. Hitler ruined, what else did he ruin, Josh?
Thunderbolts. Those little.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he ruined Thunderbolts. He ruined Thunderbolts. He ruined, go back to the chat. Maybe, what else did Hitler ruin, you guys?
He fucked up Germany pretty bad.
Yeah, he fucked up Germany. What else?
What about name the good things that he did?
You piece of shit.
Fanta. Without the Nazis, there would not be orange grape Fanta.
What? What?
Yeah, because Coca-Cola stopped giving them whatever, and so they're like, well, we're going to make our own flavored drinks, and so they created Fanta.
Dude, please pull that up.
Yeah.
Tell me that's not true. Tell me that Hitler didn't create Fanta.
Well, not Hitler, but the Nazis.
The dude at this convenience store said that it's like the whole methamphetamine problem is because of him. Because they were, the Nazis were
they
like,
created, yeah, that's why they had Blitzkrieg, because they could go for days.
So he like, you know, he ruined, before Hitler, meth was like a sophisticated drug that professors smoked. Fanta was created in 1940 in Nazi Germany by the, oh my God. Holy shit. The name Fanta was derived from the German word for imagination, fantasy, suggested by salesman Joe Kipp. Wow. So he didn't ruin, like, Fanta. I guess that's a testament to how good Fanta is. Mm-hmm. Hitler couldn't ruin Fanta. They should use that. Anyone from Fanta, you're welcome to use that for your next campaign. Just like, here's the commercial. Cut to the Hitler mustache. Cut to, meth, a picture of, like, that Nazi meth they were taking.
3412AE says they created IBM.
Oh, there you go. Didn't ruin IBM. What else?
Volkswagen.
Not a bad car.
Hugo Boss.
Not a bad brand. Why are we doing things they did that you really did that? So it just suddenly just turns into like a fucking neo-Nazi podcast. It is not a good path, Kinsey. Not a good path. What the fuck, Josh?
You know.
But I want to finish my point. Is like, it's like, and it does weirdly tie into like vengeance people or people who are like fucking up their communities. We all know, like every friendship group, every community has within it some shit disturbing asshole who is creating drama always. And sometimes you're that person, you know? Sometimes I'm that person. Hopefully in a group that is changing, everyone goes through shit. But we know, for example, how like hardcore opioid addiction will just destroy entire communities. Like, will destroy families, will just like rip families apart, destroy like the communities around the family. We know that. So that's like, that's, you know, a kind of density that you can have as a person. You can really fuck shit up if you're an asshole. But usually the way you fuck shit up is like relatively like low level. But in the world, you can be enough of a fucking asshole. You could be enough of a piece of shit that you ruin the Knicks, that you ruin mustaches. You know what I mean? You can be such an asshole. It's the opposite of enlightenment. Like in the world, you can be such a beautiful, good, open conduit of light that you create these ripples that invite people to stop being selfish pieces of shit. And it goes on and on and on forever and ever and ever. You can be that good. But you, where there's one thing, its opposite is there too. You could be such a piece of fucking shit that long after you're dead, people are standing in front of the mirror, shaving, And they look at that little square underneath their nose and they're like, damn, that looks good. That looks really good on me. I'm like, fuck, I can't do it because of Hitler. I got to shave that. Everybody's going to think I'm a Nazi. It is odd though, right? Neo-Nazis don't do Hitler mustaches.
No.
Why?
They shave their head.
I know, but you would think that if you were really into Hitler, you would do his mustache.
It's kind of hack.
Fair enough.
Yeah. One lady ruined, I mean, think about all the parents that didn't name their kid Karen after one Karen was a big enough asshole.
Oh my God! Do we know who the original Karen was?
No, I don't know. Let me.
Oh my God, you're right. Whoever that was such a piece of shit that she ruined her own name.
Yeah.
No, there is no single original. There has to be, though.
There's a Karen Harris.
Oh, wait. It's Dane Cook. Comedian Dane Cook used the name in a popular, is describing Karen as the one friend in every group that nobody likes because she's always a douchebag. Dane Cook.
Wow.
Dane Cook, people. Dane Cook originated the Karen. That's fascinating. That's like The Rock, apparently, is behind the Italian brain rot stuff.
What's the Italian brain rot stuff?
You guys know what that is, right? Italian brain rot? Like, your kids are too old for this shit. It's like, look up Italian brain rot.
Right.
It's just these, like, terms. I think 6'7" counts as Italian brain rot, but I could be wrong. The Italian brain rot universe is full of absurd, made-up characters with bizarre backstories. The names and audio are heavily stylized. They just say the... I don't know what it means. Like, that's part of being, like, older. Like, only kids understand this fully. But they say things like tralalero, tralala. Show them all. Ballerina cappuccina. Tongue sahur. Bombardio crocodile. Chimpanzini bananini. I think The Rock was like doesn't speak Italian. I saw him talking about this, and he said some of these words, and then it just I don't know. Get out of it. It's bad. This is like opening the Necronomicon. You shouldn't even look at it. Like, it's not for us. It's the forbidden zone for adults. Don't go there. We shouldn't toy with it. Let's keep doing the super chats. Thanks for the super chat.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi, John. Thanks for the super chat. Thought prayer meditation is quantum technology. Cymatics is an artifact within the macro... Wow, see, I knew someone smarter than me would chime in. Cymatics is an artifact within the macroscopic realm that illustrates the function of consciousness upon our perspective of reality. You know, John, it's so weird. Let me just show you something. What happened to my notebook, Josh? Oh, there it is. I could open this. This is my journal. It's where I keep all my ideas, write stuff down. And I wrote exactly that like 2 hours ago, exactly like that. And I was like, I should say that on the podcast. And then I'm like, you know what? I'll just try to like simplify it a little bit, but that's brilliant. Yeah. The function of consciousness upon our perspective of reality. Yeah.
Have you heard of language affecting our reality? Like they asked Spanish-speaking people to, they saw the same thing as English-speaking people, and English people saw the outcome, and Spanish people saw the reason it happened.
Wow, cool.
And so we, through our language, forget the reason of why stuff happens.
Yeah.
We just remember what happened.
Yeah.
The end.
Yeah, because like our language is like a market language.
Yeah,
like,
so does that mean we're easily, much more easily manipulated?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I mean, isn't that the idea? Like, you know, it's all fucking P.T. Barnum over here in the West. Gladiator, what happened to going to Philly? I went to Philly. I was at Helium in Philly. I love that club. I was there, Gladiator 2222. Another sign that I need to get a little better at marketing. If you could name a fan's baby, what would it be? Oh, Alpaca, I'm so honored that you would ask me that. And I'm not going to answer that. Because I'll tell you, naming a child is so fun. And it can be, interesting. Because, two people have to agree on the name, depending on, where you're at. I think in some cultures, the dude names the baby. I think in others, the mom names the baby. I don't know how that works, but, it's so fascinating to name something that you haven't even met yet. And it's really wild how, it just comes. It's it's a little bit like the koan that in Zen Buddhism, they get your ass meditating. They ask you an impossible question to answer. You meditate and meditate and meditate, and you just go kind of nuts. And I think every few days you meet with the temple priest. I don't know what their title is. The Roshi. And the Roshi asks you this koan and you'll respond, but it's wrong. But then you go so insane that spontaneously the answer will pop out of your mouth. And there's books of these koans with the answer. It's always the same answer somehow. That's naming a child. It will just come. But I'm not going to, I can't get involved there, friend.
I think moms name the baby and dads give them the nicknames.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, because my wife named our kids Isaiah, Zoe, and Xavier. And I call them Isa, Zozo, and Zeze.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds weird at the HEB, though. Isa, Zozo, Zeze. And people are like, what the fuck?
It sounds like you're counting. It sounds like counting in another language.
Yeah.
It sounds like kung. It's like you're some kind of kung fu master is telling you katas to get into or something.
Yeah.
Isaac, Zozo, Sensei. That's cool. Occubage says, have fun at Costco later. Fuck that. Fuck that, Occubage. Oh my God. That is truly a weight that my wonderful wife carries for us. She does the cost. She makes fun of me when I go to Costco with her. Because I just don't, it's like, if you haven't been to Costco regularly, there's rules. There's things that don't make sense. There's a Costco culture. There's things you can do wrong. You get lost. You buy an air fryer. You buy a knife set. You're going to buy some kind of sharpening stone. You're going to buy a TV long before you start doing grocery shopping. And it's crazy. You'll walk out of Costco. You went in there to buy a week's worth of groceries. You'll walk out with a full prepper set, fishing lures. You're not going to go fishing. A golf club, 3 blenders, some kind of coffee filters, a video game set. It gets you. Hooded sweatshirt. Duggan, what did Alex Jones smell like? Asking for a friend. No discernible odor. Did you smell anything? I didn't smell anything, Josh. No discernible odor.
Mm-mm.
Nothing. Sorry. Wish I could give you something a little more juicy, but nothing. No cologne, nothing.
And we got a good sniff.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's kind enough to let us. We're like, please, I know this is weird, but we would love to just breathe in your essence. And he's like, no problem, go ahead, it's mm-hmm. fine, you two go on in there. And it's just embraced us and felt like I felt like a child in his arms. You cried.
Yeah.
Chris Farid, what's the difference between ego death and just being ignored at a party? That's a great question. Is that a koan? Feels like a koan. I'd say here's the difference. To be ignored at a party, you have to have a you that's being ignored. You have to be aware of a you. there's a you that could be ignored. You're fixating on this little imaginary friend you call yourself. Your little doll isn't getting the attention it wants. You're worried about your doll. Do people like my doll? Is my doll an asshole? Is my doll going to be lonely for the rest of their life? Oh my God. Does this person think my doll is weird? My doll must smell weird. Does my doll stink? No one will ever love my doll. that's being ignored. That's your ego. It's just this very like sophisticated imaginary friend you're carrying around with you. And that doesn't help, by the way. Knowing that doesn't help. When your ego gets stung, it fucking hurts. It's horrible. I hate it. It's horrible. It's embarrassing. It's implicitly embarrassing. Like, it has to be embarrassing. And so you get really defensive and protective of this thing that is not real. In the sense that, I mean, it's real in the way that your thoughts are real, but it's pretty ephemeral. It's not like your body. It's like a set of expectations and notions about who you are and, you know, the respect you deserve. What will people think about me? And it's always, at least my ego, is so fucking, like, absolutely ridiculous in its prognostications of what will happen. If this happens, then that will happen. It's always wrong. Everyone's ego is a lot like clavicular, you know? So getting ignored at a party for a lot of us is like the greatest thing that could happen to us. For us recluses, it's like, fuck yeah, I'm getting ignored. This is amazing. If you have social anxiety, getting ignored at a party can be nice, except your social anxiety is going to make you think you offended somebody. But yeah, I'd say that's the difference.
Have you ever done the Japanese ego test?
What is it?
I'll pull it up.
There's a Japanese ego test?
Yes, that's not what it's called, but that's what I remember it as.
I cannot wait. That would be amazing to have, like, the way you can test, like, your... Like,
the cube test. That's what it's called.
Cube test.
Go there. Okay.
Okay, close your eyes. Okay, wait, will you read it to me and we'll do the cube test right out?
Okay, just real quick. I'm not very good at reading, but we're going to try. Close your eyes and try to clear your mind. Then picture yourself in a desert. Vast, empty, just desert. Now picture a cube in your desert. How big is your cube? Do you see the cube embedded in the desert sand on the surface, floating or moving around? Is the cube hollow inside or is it solid? Just remember that there is no final score in this test. Okay.
Wait, stop. First of all, I don't like that they're telling me what the fucking... there's so many ways a cube could be. So, you know, already it's just like, who the fuck do you think you are telling me about my cube? I'll decide my own fucking cube, you piece of shit. This is ridiculous. I could have done a much better cube test. Cube ego test.
Okay. Building on your image, your desert, your cube, a ladder appears again. Describe it. Where is the ladder in respect to the cube? Above, below, against, in the cube? Is the ladder old, new, long, short? What is the ladder made out of? As you look at the ladder, a horse now appears.
What the fuck?
Please describe for me what you see.
How about I don't?
Is in respect to the cube, tell me where you see the horse.
I don't respect that cube.
Close or far? Is the horse standing still or moving around? If he's moving, which way is he moving?
Okay.
What does the horse...
How long is this thing?
It's a few more questions.
What is it?
Oh, shit. It's a lot.
The fuck is this, Josh?
It's super long. Okay, so the cube... Just tell me the cube part. This is the ego part. Well, how big was your cube and where was it?
The cube was like actually not very big.
Okay.
But it was like... made of biceps.
Okay. Was it high up in the air? Was it down near the ground? Where was it?
It was like near the ground.
Then you're grounded and you have a small ego.
What about the biceps?
That doesn't tell me anything about that. Yeah. Or maybe it does later on. But yeah, it's pretty long. I did this test. My wife did it for me. She was laughing because she goes, think of a cube. And I said, think of Independence Day when the spaceship is coming through and covers the whole sky. That's what I told her. And she was like, that's your ego. And I was like, fuck. That crushed me.
Josh, you do not have a fucking inflated ego, dude. You don't. Oh, my God.
I have an inflated ego about having an inflated ego.
Yeah. Well, that's where it gets that. That exactly is it. That's the recursion. This is the problem. It's like it's a house of mirrors. It's one of those infinity mirrors. Anytime you become self-reflective or fixated on even the idea of the ego, then it just produces like, well, you don't want an ego. You want ego death or whatever the fuck that even is. But the reason you want the ego death is because you want to be a better person, which is your ego. So it's your ego just bouncing off of itself, creating feedback. It's a fucking feedback loop. It's when you put the microphone too close to the speakers. It's like, you don't even have to worry about your fucking ego, man. It's like, you can't kill it because it's not real. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like killing a Smurf. They're not real.
Well, isn't your ego your shadow size?
They're not real. But let me just say this because I'm going to catch shit for that. I don't think Smurfs are real. And I will die on that hill. So all you, go ahead and come at me, you Smurf believers. Fuck off. I get attacked by these people every day. They're not real. They're not. Show me one. Show me a living Smurf. They'd be in zoos. Or they'd be in food or whatever if Gargamel was right. Just show me. Point is, I don't think they're real. Go ahead and attack me all you fucking want online. Go ahead. But I will smack you down every single fucking time because no matter what, the pictures I've seen of Smurfs, they're all blurry. They're shitty. There could be easily be something else. So they're not real. So fuck off. You know, I don't like going there on this podcast. It is a podcast of love, peace, and joy. But go fuck yourself if you're one of the Smurf believers. That's such a gross subculture. They're not real. They're not real. Show me one. I just want to see one Smurf. I'll apologize. Just one Smurf. One Smurf autopsy. Even like a... Or the Smurfs. The Smurfs were not based on a specific singular real life event or person. Josh, why did you look that up?
Because I saw an Instagram reel a long time ago that said that it was a specific type of person that they were portraying. So I was trying to see what that was.
You're just almost about to become a Smurf. That's how it starts. That's like the way in. And then the next thing you know, you start believing in them. Thanks for the donation, Mab. Let's go back to the chat real quick, Josh.
And John, I'll make sure to buy those flower seeds. Thank you.
Wait, what? I missed that.
Yeah.
John, this one's for Josh. Please spend this $5 wisely at Trader Joe's on a lovely pack of fair traded, organic, free range, non-GMO sunflower seeds.
Thank you.
Yeah, Josh, you better fucking do that. I want to see those seeds the next time I come in here. You guys, this has been a joy. I love streaming with you, and I love you. I had a guest scheduled, by the way. I do want to get back to interviewing people, though I've been really enjoying these. But I also like interviewing people. It's just, I've had the last couple of guests, just hasn't worked out. I better get out of here. Head over to the Mystery Boys preview room, guys. Start a conversation there. This one's a good one. In fact, it could really change the world. I'm not going to spoil it, but it does make me, I don't know, does this, some of the stuff that we uncovered in this Mystery Boys is, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen to us. Have a wonderful day, a wonderful week, and God bless you all. That's so stupid. How do you close out a live stream? Oh, I know. No more curses. I hope today we sent hundreds of curses, maybe thousands of curses, back to the warlocks and witches and darklings out there who would dare curse me or any of my wonderful listeners, watchers. I think we did it. I felt something come out of me. Felt like a string broke. God help whoever threw that string, whoever harpooned me with their dark magic. Actually, God help you. I hope it doesn't go back on you, really. I don't want to fuck anybody up. Maybe a little. Fuck!
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.